I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, UT San Antonio's new College of AI, Cyber, and Computing is being positioned as a major workforce engine for a city increasingly focused on cybersecurity, data science, artificial intelligence, and advanced computing. How does the college fold into San Antonio's broader economic strategy and the needs for national security? This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Recently, there was a massive cyber attack on Canvas, an online learning platform used by schools, colleges, universities around the world. That attack again showed us that cybersecurity is not just about protecting passwords or stopping hackers. It's about defending critical infrastructure, hospitals, power grids, schools, businesses, military systems, and the personal data of nearly everyone online. In San Antonio, we've been working for years to position ourselves as one of the nation's leading cybersecurity hubs. Now, UT San Antonio is making a major move in that direction with the launch of its new College of AI, Cyber, and Computing. The college brings together cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, data science, and computer engineering, and it is anchored downtown in the UTSA San Pedro buildings at the center of San Antonio's growing tech district. Join us to discuss what this means for students, employers, San Antonio, and the future of cybersecurity is Xizheng Xin. Xiang, he is the founding dean of UT San Antonio's Colleges of AI, Cyber, and Computing. And Xizheng, welcome to The Source. Great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave.
So UTSA took these different departments, looks like, and they combined it into one. What is the advantage of having AI, cybersecurity, and computing as one college rather than having it spread against different departments?
Right. So this is something, you know, our president, Amy, had as a vision for the university. And right now, for any of these complex challenges, as you just mentioned about the recent instance of Canvas, all of these complex issues requires interdisciplinary collaboration, and especially related to the computing and artificial intelligence. And right now, the cybersecurity is one of the major threats to the nation, and we think we need to bring all the relevant technologies together and to fostering collaboration. And AI, computing, and data science, and statistics, all of those relevant technologies, if we bring them under one college, and to foster better collaboration and better innovation.
Now, our phone lines are open. We'll take questions from listeners, questions and comments. You can give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And so let me ask you, when we're talking about cybersecurity, how aggressive are our people who want to attack our systems? Is this a constant siege that we're under? Are there actors out there who are always trying, probing our systems, looking for vulnerabilities?
Well, that's a question probably it's not for me, you know, and we are in the academic area. So for us, of course, we would like to think of the importance of this question, right? And of course, from all kinds of news and all kinds of publicity, we believe this is the case. And from the academia, what we can do is to how do we advance the technology, our understanding of the adversary attack, and what will be the best defense, or sometimes can be aggressive defense as well. And all of this requires a deep collaboration across the field. And that's what we are most interested in.
Right, but it does seem like there are hackers out there. There are data breaches with Canvas, and the public has to have a very good understanding. They have to be a part of the solution because they're social engineering problems. You know, you don't want people giving away their passwords or picking up you know, flash drives off the street and stick it in their computers, things like that. Or we have to develop a mentality about cyber safety, don't we?
Oh, 100%, right? So this is whole cyber security thing, I would say, okay, is really relatively new to certain degrees. We always have as a physical infrastructure, right? It is always being connected. And because of the computation, because of the internet, and all the things starting to connect, and for the convenience of operation. And people in the past just more relies on the convenience, but they didn't realize the security issues. And now with more and more people know about the computing, and this cybersecurity issue starting to surface up, and there's more adversaries also taking advantage of this vulnerability. Because unfortunately, a lot of our infrastructure was built long time ago without a security in mind. Right? At that time, just people never thought about the cybersecurity would have been an issue at all. But now, with a massive physical system already deployed, and the cybersecurity becomes a major concern, and now either we have to retrofit to upgrade our infrastructure, which is very costly, or we have to find mechanisms or technologies to defend us and to protect us, all of these physical systems. And that's why the cyber physical system and security issues become such a big concern.
Well, UTSA was one of the first institutions to recognize that we needed to develop a robust cybersecurity academic program, and that's brought us to where we are today, right?
Oh, totally. I think that's why the UT San Antonio benefited from our connection to the locals, right? And San Antonio is a military city, and there's a lot of those needs coming from the military kind of the requirements. And so UT San Antonio, because of our proximity to those operations, and I think it's very early on realized the importance of cybersecurity. So that's what I mean. Many years ago, the university established its cybersecurity programs. And over the past decades, and this program getting stronger and also getting recognition by the community. And now UT San Antonio's cybersecurity program is one of the best in the nation.
But describe how that works. So we have military assets here and intelligence assets in the area working on cybersecurity and computing and data science. And then we have the academic. We also have private companies doing that as well. How does that create synergy that benefits each other? That, you know, do you have like retired military officers that were working in the field who become faculty at UTSA? How does that develop?
Oh, yes. I mean, you kind of portrayed a very interesting like a picture, right? Really, it's a triangle. You can think of the military asset, right, and the military base, and then you have the industry or the private sector serving that military base. And then we have academics. You can think of this as a triangle. And for us, and we want for the academic, because of it's a public, it's open for research. So we are more focused on, let's say, more advanced technologies and more general technologies. And of course, we'd like to anchor our research from the real use cases. And this is by collaborating with both the private sector and also sometimes, you know, the DoD and the military bases. And they will tell us what are the important challenges. And we solve it in a more generic sense. And then pass these technologies for the private sector. So they develop further technologies to serve the military. So we do have some of the retired military personnel and join us as a junior professor and to teach our students. And of course, everything is declassified.
Yeah, and that they really know how it works. They've been in the cyber trenches.
Oh, yes. We have quite a few faculty members in our college who has deep knowledge about the military operations and help our students knowing the challenges.
We got to take a break here. Our number is 833-877-8255. Michael, I'm going to get you on the air with your question when we come back from this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half hour, we're going to be talking about how the San Antonio Report and the Texas Public Radio, their newsrooms, are coming together. We're going to be talking about that with our community supporters, so that is you, and we're going to be finding out more about how that works in the second half hour. But right now, we're learning about San Antonio's cybersecurity. We have the UT San Antonio having an instrumental new college of AI, cyber, and computing, and we're hearing more about that. Let's go to Michael. He's got a question. And if you want to call in, 833-877-8255. And Michael, you're on the air.
Currently, are American businesses paying off the cyber extortionists? Are the cyber extortionists always going to be able to get money out of American businesses?
All right, Michael, thank you for the call. So I guess in that Canvas hack that took down, they were able to unlock all that those important universities' functions, and I guess those cyber hackers gotten paid off.
Actually, I don't know as a fact. Right, all of this is a very kind of sensitive questions, and a lot of information is not revealed to the public, and we can only guess what's happening. But this too raises a very important question about the importance of protecting our cyber physical systems, no matter what it is, right? Some of the cyber physical system has a physical asset, like the power grid, transportation systems. But some of the cyber physical system, like the system we are using right now, even for this online radio broadcasting, right? So all of those systems are connected. And how do we protect any this adversary attacked and a ransomware. Are we going to defend? If we defend them, you know, before it occurring, a lot of times the public didn't even know, right? And that also requires the investment and the cost as well. People only realize the importance of this issue when it goes bad. And so that's why continued investment and continued focus of this topic is very important for the public safety.
Right now, there's this new trend called vibe coding, where people are using Claude and other devices, other systems, in order to write software, shortcuts in order to do that. And I wonder if by doing, you know, Claude coding, if you're putting in vulnerabilities in the software, that if you had an actual person writing the software code, that they would be able to avoid.
Oh, that's a great question, Dave. And this whole vibe coding, in a sense, is a big technology advancement because it enabled a lot of people starting to be productive, in a sense, now. And people without the big, deep computing training now can start to building website, building some applications, which is, to some degree, is very revealing. But on the other hand, and this also potentially expose a lot of the security risks. Because a lot of people, if you do not have this deeper computing training, you try to build some application, you're starting to use it, and this can expose the backdoor, like a security issues for people to attack. And unfortunately, this is really, of course, the technology is still new. People still do not know the implications. And what we like to tell people is, you know, knowing the fundamental of computing, the technology, is still important. Even though you can use vibe coding to do the coding quickly, doesn't mean you know the whatever the application you developed is secure and also without any flaws, you know. And this is something really we like as a community to know, you know. And we still need students and still pursuing the computing and the degrees and still learn the best of the technology.
Right, because people are saying that vibe coding is basically makes computer programmers unnecessary. I can use this program to write my software for me, AI to write my software for me. But you need someone on the back end, someone who is trained especially in cybersecurity, to look at the product to make sure that it is airtight, right?
Oh, that's totally. But I would say this would be the ideal, but I don't think right now that is the pattern. You know, hey, you write as a you use a Viber coding, develop some application, someone else will take care of the security for you. No, that's not the case right now. So right now, the industry, I would say, still very new, like to get used to this Viber coding and how people going to use Viber coding to develop applications and how serious are they going to deploy those applications, right? And all of this is relatively new. So I don't think this fixed a pattern how to make this whole new technology be not only productive and also be effective. Effective meaning do the things they intended to do and also with all the possible constraints, you know, considered in terms of security, for example.
So when you're developing a new application, a new program, you should be thinking about cybersecurity from the very beginning in the foundation of what you're putting together and not thinking of it as something that I can add on the back end.
Totally. I agree with you. But unfortunately, that's not the reality, right? And think of this way. If you would want to develop any application with the security in mind, that which means you need to take extra steps, you know, extra cost. But a lot of times, you know, and from whatever the reasons, you know, especially the business reasons, people want to get things out fast, right? And the security is always a secondary kind of consideration. And only when things go bad, then you realize the importance of a security. And that's why, you know, and UT San Antonio was able to position ourselves early on to emphasize the importance of cybersecurity from the educational perspective.
So, I mean, what kind of cybersecurity jobs are employers looking for right now? What can UT San Antonio, how can it help fill that need?
I would say the cybersecurity need is very general, you know, and every industry. So long as you use a computing and you use a computing for interconnections and for communication, you probably need someone with that kind of expertise in your team. And so that's what I said, the need is broad. And that's what I mean when we train, I mean, we like more students to get into the space and so they can learn the fundamentals and then they can apply to different areas.
And so the Texas Cyber Command is being housed at UTSA and is being built here in San Antonio. So what opportunities does that create for UTSA students and faculty and our overall national security?
Right. The Texas Command Center just right on top of our San Pedro One. And so that is something like the Texas is a leader in the nation, right, to have this kind of operation and really try to build an operation to protect Texas infrastructure. And being close proximity to our college and our university enables us to have more fluent communication and more close collaboration. So we already in talk with Texas Command Center, for example, to see what are the summer internship programs we can have this summer so our students can work with their people and starting to build in some of the very interesting use cases and to demonstrate what we can do and how academic, you know, can still help them to improve some of the operations.
So AI, big part of what you're doing. AI has been talked about as the boogeyman is going to destroy society or make us irrelevant. I'm not sure. How do you want people to think about artificial intelligence and its role in society as it reaches maturity?
Interesting, right? We didn't talk about AI till this moment. You know, it's already 25 minutes. Yeah. We talk about all the security issues, the cybersecurity, others. And now you can see, right, the AI is just one of the technologies, right? And that is important. And AI by itself may be interesting from academic point of view, but we need to apply the AI to the specific use cases. And in this conversation, we talk about the security. Now we say, hey, how AI can be applied to security. Maybe tomorrow we can talk about transportation. This okay, how AI can be into the transportation. Maybe tomorrow we'll talk about the food security, how AI can be applied.
To drones.
Yeah, to drones. Yes, exactly. Now you can see AI is only one technology, depending on how we use it, how we develop it, how we understand it. And the AI can be used for both for protection and it can sometimes it can be for adversary attack as well. So it's really double-edged sword, you know, depending on how you use it.
Right, but the concern is that it's being used by the wealthiest individuals on the planet against, you know, everyone else.
That's a very good question, right? So this is something I've been thinking about a lot as well. So we talk about AI for improving the productivity, right, and for replacing people's jobs. But I think more fundamental question we need to ask is, with the AI's capability, who benefit from AI? Who get suffered because of the AI? And that is more fundamental question we need to ask ourselves as a society, right? And also from the policy-making point of view. And the technology can only do so much to demonstrate the capabilities, but how do you utilize such capabilities and benefit whom, right? And to protect whom? And this is a much bigger question. You know, that's why you need more of interdisciplinary subject expertise coming together to talk about those issues.
So everything is moving so fast. How does a school that teaches, you know, cybersecurity, AI, computers, how do you keep up?
Well, that's another good question, right? And technology is moving so really, really fast, which also means, right, our faculty members need to learn new things as well and need to update our own knowledge and digest ahead of the students so we can communicate to the students early on and as well. But of course, like any new technology so advanced, we also need to work with our students as well, you know, telling them what do we know, what do we don't know. And the student is part of this journey, right, to develop new content and what the new content, what the technologies, or what the knowledge they need to know so they can learn better to prepare for the future. So that's one of the initiatives that we started in the college, right? Asking all our faculties to look into the courses, you know, they are teaching, and let ask my faculties to think about how AI is going to teach them, right? And what are the new content they need to develop so they can teach students better? So we all need to learn.
So, and if you're going to be a student, I mean, it seems like, how do I ever get on? What kind of skills does a student need walking in the door, going to college? Says, I'm going to learn this. What do they need to know on day one?
First, you need to have an open mind. And the second, you still need to learn the fundamentals, very basics, right? Including the very basic, like take a computer science as an example.
Like C++.
Exactly. You still have to learn the C++. You still need to have to learn the computer architecture. Knows why we need the memory, why we need the processor, why the memory has different levels, why there's a cache, right? Through the whole, only when you understand the physical level of architecture organization, you may realize where things can go wrong, right? And so AI is not a magic. You still need to know the fundamentals to know how AI works so you can be more effective.
So San Antonio has an advantage. UTSA has an advantage. How do you press that advantage to make sure that you're able to maximize these opportunities?
We have some advantage because we are close to the communities, right? We are close to the industries, and we are here, and we're talking to our community to understand the needs, and that's how we take advantage of our close proximity and develop our programs that is matters to the community.
So does it help being downtown for something like that, being integrated into the city?
I would think so. Think of this way. Now, next fall, we are going to have more than 5,000 students coming to downtown. They're going to study here, they're going to learn here, and they're going to interact with our community leaders, which means they're only going to dine here, they're only going to buy things here. So they're going to be integrated into this city.
Yes. We're here. We're just like a couple of blocks away from you, right around the San Pedro Creek.
That's right. So please stop by anytime. And it just took me a few minutes to come to your studio.
Yeah, so that's great. And we're looking forward to seeing a lot of young people walking around downtown, eager to learn, developing new technology, practicing, you know, the cybersecurity, and this is the future of San Antonio. So, Dr. Zhizheng Zhang, thank you so much for coming in. The founding dean of UT San Antonio's College of AI, Cyber, and Computing. It was great talking to you today. I appreciate that.
Thanks so much for having me.
Broadway Bank, in partnership with the San Antonio Food Bank, have started their Summer Snacks for Kids campaign, providing children in low-income households with nutritious food that they lose access to during the summer. All donations go directly toward buying nutritious snacks for kids in need. Details are at broadway.bank/snacks.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.